Welcome to Now Open the Podcast, the sex education podcast that's more sex than education. I'm Drew.
My name is Jobim.
So this week we're taking a look at our hidden folders and checking to see if our selfie game is on point. We're talking about nudes, how your grandparents used to send them probably, and who takes the best nudes. So this is part one of Send Nudes, the Art of Sexy Pics, where we'll give you a brief history of nudes. So some trigger warnings, genitalia, nudity, and kink. This podcast deals with themes, languages, and situations that may not be suitable for young audiences. If you're under the age of 18, parental guidance isn't going to help you here. All right, so we just want to do a quick history of nudes because when you send a dick pic or a nudie pic, you're not just sending a nude pic. You are partaking in a century-old tradition.
A rich tradition, a rich history. This is part of the human experience. For yes. As long as humanity has been able to capture and immortalize images, we have been sending dick pics. I think some of the oldest cave paintings are just giant cocks and like flapping labias on the walls. Christine was here.
I like how your ancient caveman person's name is Christine.
Yes. The guy is Og Og, but the girl is Christine.
So we're focusing today on the art of pictures. So this has only been around for, I don't know, around 150 years or so. Around in the public. Really? Around 150 years. Like, I think the daguerreotype was around 150 years ago.
When I think of the Renaissance and, you know, patrons and rich people paying artists to paint them, I always think there must have been some aristocrats that were paying the masters, Michelangelo, Donatello, the other Ninja Turtles, to paint their nudes, right? Like, this is going to go to Sir Lord Edmonton in 3 months. Make my tits look super perky. You know what I mean?
I mean, a lot of artists also maybe might have slept with their subjects.
It's true. How many of these nudes were embellished? Ancient Photoshop.
I'm sure most of them were, like, Henry VIII, one of his wives looked so much better in the painting. And then when he decided to marry her, he found out she was ugly. And then I think he either divorced or killed her. I can't remember which one. But anyway.
It was like, shoot the painter. Find me that painter.
So we're talking about photos now. And for years, the only nudes that were authorized for publication were those that accompanied the accounts of explorers and travelers, especially those in colonial times. So the only nudes that you could see in publications weren't even like sexy nudes. I'm sure that some people still published nudie zines, but like theoretically, only nudes authorized were those that accompanied these accounts. Why? Because they wanted to illustrate how the naked natives were savages compared to them. So you would find photos of naked natives in the pages of journals like National Geographic and academic textbooks. So it was basically a superiority issue. We wanted to, well, the white people, which is I'm a part of, which I said we.
They want to say it was a superiority thing. Yes. Documenting for education. Yes, absolutely. For posterity. Yes.
Like, look at these people. They're not wearing any clothing. How strange. Look at us. We wear clothing. We're so much better.
Science.
It's like, don't tell me you're naked under those clothes, too.
But yeah, it's important to know that these were the only nudes authorized for publication. This is not to say that the Victorians and other people during the Age of Exploration were not, you know, like, taking nudes or that porn did not exist. It existed, but the only ones that they were allowed to publish, you couldn't publish porn. Had to be, like, Had to be some brown people.
They absolutely were sending people. Boudoir daguerreotypes, tin types, and other like old-timey photography to each other for sure. Like if you look at World War II, like all those nude pictures that came in the mail for the soldiers.
I'm just saying, yeah, the grave robbers weren't just looking for jewels, you know.
So the first decades of the 20th century saw so many radical changes in societal attitudes for a number of reasons, you know, medical breakthroughs, World War I, also World War II, the evolution of fashion and dance, and the expansion of media. So all of these like technological and cultural changes really helped photographers of the time think differently in the way that they approached the human body. There was just so much going on. So the first nudes around this time, they mostly focused on capturing the body in sections. So they were a lot of close-ups.
That's an example of the original photographs that were, you know, anthropological, supposedly, in nature.
Oh, Joe Bim, when you see a picture on the screen, could you kindly describe it to our listeners, our audio listeners?
Okay, so right now we're seeing what looks like two dark-skinned colored people. And the one on the left either has albinism or is covered from head to toe in sort of chalk.
I think that's like a paint and then the situation.
Is it a paint?
Yes.
And the one on the right is also dotted with the white paint.
So these are
huge cocks.
Basically an example of quote unquote two savages or natives that would show up in journals like National Geographic. So next picture, sir producer. There we go. So this is a close-up shot of, a person with breasts.
You got some nice boobies.
Clasping nice their boobies. Chests. It's a nice close-cropped medium shot. So these are the examples of the nudes that they were taking at the time. Very artsy, right? Very cute. In the mid-20th century, though, censorship prevailed. So in an attempt to counter all the censorship laws and the conservatism that was going on at the time, a handful of magazines thought of overthrowing erotic stereotypes by making them look a lot more artistic. So this is like, it's not porn, it's erotic photography.
It's what Playboy tried to get away with for the longest time. You know, this is artistic representation.
I think a slightly different from Playboy. Playboy's still like a little bit closer. That's what
Playboy tried to get away with.
They tried. You
know? So I guess their idea, I can sort of follow their logic in that it might offend less people if it's only sections, right? Because I'm trying to place myself in their mindset, right? In their self-censorship of the time. If it were a close-up, I could see how it could be argued that it's artistic.
So, producer, can you just go through a quick slideshow of some of the artistic images we have? So this is a classic image.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
It's a Man Ray photograph of a woman with her back to the camera, and there's, like, I guess the holes in the cello, I don't know what you call those things, painted onto her back. My friend has this tattoo.
Every millennial who knows how to play a cello has that tattoo on their back.
So this is the example of the kind of nudity that they would have to kind of bypass censorship laws. So this is another example. Very tasteful. I'm pretty sure I've taken a nude in this exact pose before.
I think what makes them tasteful is that when I'm looking at them, I don't feel the male gaze.
Because they're not necessarily straight up pornographic, you know, they're not focused on the genitals. They're sure there's no face, which some might argue like objectifies them, but like it's really just like the whole body, you know, there's no focus on one particular thing. And
it accentuates the curves of the body without being overtly erotic, I'd say.
I like how we're turning into an art criticism podcast.
We're just trying to justify showing nudes on Facebook. Yes. Please don't cut off our video this time. If you zoom in on that picture you see on your screen, that's not a vagina. Those are fingers covering the vagina.
So this was another way they got past censorship, is by distorting images so that it couldn't, I guess, be taken as pornography. So, but this is also kind of like, this was around the time that surrealism was getting into Vogue. So this
woman with elephantiasis. Yes.
Well, the title of the paint of this photo is Distortion Number 40. So this golden age of photography was suddenly stopped short by World War II. This still, until I guess probably before today, is like one of the richest in photographic history. But of course, the war took a lot from everything. So that stopped that right in its tracks.
Before we move on to the rest of our discussion, the newsstand.
Okay, so this newsstand is actually a BBC article entitled, it's very entitled, "We're Being Pressured Into Sex by Some Trans Women," in quotation marks. So, in this opinion piece, the writer writes, "Several people got in touch with me to say that there was a huge problem for lesbians who were being pressured to, quote unquote, accept the idea that a penis can be a female sex organ." One tweet reads, "One thing every lesbian deals with is straight dudes telling them if only they'd give them a chance, they might realize they're actually straight. Trans activists have that same energy. Let people date who they want to date. If someone rejects you, it's none of your business why." The article, however, also goes on to say, "Ultimately, it has been difficult to determine the true scale of the problem because there has been little research on the topic. Only one survey to my knowledge. However, those affected have told me the pressure comes from a minority of trans women, as well as activists who are not necessarily trans themselves."
I'm glad that the article added that to the end, because too many articles now, especially articles discussing topics of gender, are clickbaity and ambiguous. And this article, I think, ends it a little bit fairly. You know, it is what we're seeing a lot of times, a very, 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 very vocal minority. Right. This is not necessarily the norm or the case. It is sad if it is true that people are experiencing this. It is sad. But from the end of the article, judging from that, I don't think that this is a widespread issue.
Like, I don't doubt that there are some people out there who mistake this whole, you know, reflect on your transphobia, reflect on your preferences, reflect on your own biases. But there are some people who take that and somehow warp it into, if you're a lesbian, you should be okay with sleeping with a penis. You know, it's, it's like those are two different sentences. And I'm sure that there are some people.
If you're a lesbian, wait, what? What? Let's backtrack on that sentence again. Let's say it word for word, okay? If you are a lesbian, you should be okay
having sex with a penis if it's attached to a person who identifies as a woman. And like, that's not...
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack, but we won't even try, because I think most reasonable people, and I think the majority of trans people, like, that's not even the discussion that they're having. You know, I think the discussion really is just, no one's forcing you to have sex with anyone. You still have 100% complete agency.
I mean, ideally.
Ideally, of course, that's the ideal scenario. But like, if I think even trans people wouldn't, again, it's not even, sometimes it's activists who aren't even trans themselves. And I think sometimes it's just kind of like a straw man. You know, let's blow up this very minor niche opinion that most people don't hold. And let's blow it up to make trans people look bad.
I agree. And that was the newsstand, now sitting down.
Awesome.
And now on to the show. So we've discussed the history of nudes. And I guess since you know, people started taking pictures, there has been a need for mankind to prove who is best, to show that we can take the best nudes better than anyone. So the first person to be like, "My nudes are the best, you guys should just stop trying," was a guy named Baron Wilhelm von Gluden. He lived from 1856 to 1931. So he reached last century, okay? And he's got this photo. It's a dope photo. It's called Untitled, from 1906, okay? You think 1906, wow, the people then must have been so lame. Everyone is like, cover up. Look at this photo. Look at those juicy ding-dongs on your screen. Oh, you can't, they're grayed out. But still, trust me, they're juicy. He was known for his pastoral nude photographs of the Sicilian boys of Taormina that were widely collected and sought after, as well as condemned and censored. His photographs incorporated props like wreaths and togas, as well as theatrical settings that suggested ancient myths and allegories. There was like a magical quality to his nudity. They weren't just nudes for nude's sake. His photography and subjects also showed that he drew on the predominant themes and aesthetics of classical Roman and Greek art. His photographs are remembered today as a celebration of male sensuality and the beauty of the human form. We also got Imogen Cunningham. This photo is called Eye on Mount Rainier. That's
I really like this
from
photo.
1915.
So for those who can't see the photo because you're sitting on Spotify, it is a wonderful black and white photo of a woman just perching on top of a rock, completely nude.
Is that a woman?
Never mind. It's a person with a penis.
It's somebody on posing on a rock, and they're in soft focus. It's a very well composed shot. Okay, yeah, it's a her because it says I on Mount Rainier and Imogen Cunningham identified as a she.
Oh, but yeah, also like Imogen Cunningham was like one of the first female photographers to produce a nude photograph of a man.
Oh,
maybe I is just an initial.
Maybe, maybe.
Know. Who knows? We don't know who this person is.
There's also Helmut Newton, who just died recently in 2004, was alive from 1920 to 2004. So most of last century, taking pictures of nude people. Helmut Newton's work appeared in Vogue. And in 1976, Newton was crowned by Time magazine as the king of kink for the images in his first book, White Women, which portray luxury alongside eroticism, a mixture he would continue to explore throughout his career. Yes.
Yes, the ultimate kink,
which
white women.
Pornhub continues to this day. White women. Right, yeah. There's Robert Mapplethorpe, who I was introduced to through The Simpsons, I think. Yeah, a lot of people will remember Mapplethorpe through that episode of The Simpsons where Marge and Homer are trying to rekindle their marriage. Robert Mapplethorpe created striking images of the human body that focus on finding perfection in form. I'm sure if the name doesn't ring a bell, the photos will. I'm sure you've seen lots of black and white photos of these striking, striking figures. What you see on your screen right now looks like a beautiful landscape, but no, that is a woman's behind. You're welcome. And there's Sally Mann, who was born in 1990, still alive until now. This looks like an adolescent, known for a documentation of the American South and black and white portraits of the family. Of her family, photographer Sally Mann. Oh, sorry, died in 1951. She was 1951, still alive today. The photo Goosebumps is from 1990, my bad. Since the 1970s, Mann has been producing portraits, but her most famous series, Immediate Family, from 1984 to 1994, has faced unending calls for censorship because it depicts her three children as they move between childhood and adolescence. And as I told you earlier, you know, that's a prepubescent girl on your screen right now.
I mean, so people are understandably uncomfortable seeing pictures of naked children. Although I will say not all pictures of naked children are, it's not sexual. I have so many pictures of naked baby.
I would say no pictures of naked children are sexual. I've never seen a photo of a naked child and gone, none of them are sexual.
Although I do understand, I guess, like the issue here was that these were Sally Mann's children. And were they able to consent at those ages to have their pictures published? Kind of like the Nirvana baby who eventually sued them for using his picture.
Right. Nirvana baby. He's just mad that the world knows he has a small penis. Anyway, and then there's this beautiful shot called Tokyo Comedy. Don't you get it? It's hilarious. From 1997, Nobuyoshi Araki. From 1940 onwards, he's still alive, has produced an abundant body of work that refers to as eye photography after the popular Japanese confessional literary genre of eye novel. There you go.
Yeah, Araki's most known, quite obviously, for his bondage photos. A lot of the photographers I used to work with when I was still rope bunnying, Araki was very much a huge peg for all of those shoots.
what I think I'm noticing is there is what is considered daring, I think, hasn't really changed. The level of eroticism has been turned up over time, though, I would say.
Yeah, like these, we probably wouldn't be super shocked to see these, I think. I mean, yeah, Twitter is pretty much full of pictures like this. I follow an Iraqi account on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Twitter is just, Twitter's just porn now, really.
Pretty much. Yeah, our idea really of like what has counted as nudity and what has counted as explicit photography has really morphed over the years, but in some ways is pretty much still the same. So that's really it for part one of Send Nudes, the art of sexy pics. We will be right back for part two, where we'll talk about the art of the sexy selfie. So we talked about the history. Let's talk about bringing what we've learned from the masters into our own
nudes. How do you send a dick pic like Mapplethorpe? How do you arch your back so that Gubel, what's his name?
Gluden.
Someone with a weird name? Gluden? Wilhelm von Gluden will be like, that's what I'm looking for. Find out after the break.